Mesechtes Bar Mitzia, Daf Samach, the last line of Daf Nun Tesam Beis at the new Mishnah, and Rashi explains that our Mishnah will be dealing with a case where a Baal Bayis says to a buyer that I'm going to sell you a specific amount of grain from a specific field, and the Mishnah tells us in that case, Ema Arvin Peirs of Peirs, Afilu Chadashim Chadashim, Ve'in Tzarechleim Chadashim B'Yishonim, and the Baal Bayis cannot decide to substitute grain from a different field for the grain that he promised to sell to the buyer, and the seller can't even do so, even if he's going to substitute new fresh grain for new fresh grain from a different field. And even though both the qualities seem to be the same, but the ma'aseh the buyer specifically made up with the seller that he wants to buy tefuah from a specific field. And the Mishnah also teaches us that certainly in a case where the seller wants to substitute new tefuah for old tefuah, then certainly he can't do so. As Rashi explains on Daf Samach Chaim Aleph, Pasuk Limkala Yishanim, that if the seller made up with the buyer that he will sell him old tefuah, which is already dried out, and therefore the yield of flour will be better than new and fresh and moist tefuah, then he can't do so. And as Rashi says, and therefore certainly the buyer is getting less value. And the Sma explains that the reason why you can't even replace new tefuah for new tefuah is because since that's from two sadeis, so therefore mistama, one is better than the other. And as we will see, the only time that you could go and replace tefuah with tefuah from another field is only in the case of a whole sailor. And clearly from Rashi, it seems that we're talking about a case where both of the tefuahs are similar quality. However, the Rosh says, "Pirish ma'at pirish royim b'habi pirish yafim k'dei l'mechrim b'teris yafim v'ein nira v'nikaben," and the seller is trying to sell these other new pirish as if they were good pirish, and therefore he wants to be ma'arev some small amount, and a person won't notice that he was actually being cheated. And the Meiri also says, "Sh'osel ar pirish yafim im she'inin yafim k'dei l'yafusim in order she'yikvutzu olav ha'seichrim," and Taisis on Daf states, as we have a cloud that's stated in that anything that's older, malu is better, aside for date beer, as well as a fish dish called hasana. And keep in mind that Rashi and Dibul Maskel, when Pesha Mashpicha states, that since Rashi explained that older grain is better than newer grain, therefore Rashi explains, although the Mishnah states that you're not allowed to go and mix in Kadoshim into older grain, however, certainly you're allowed to mix in older grain with newer grain, as certainly that is better for a buyer. However, once again, the Rush argues and holds that also to be Ma'arev Peirush Yishonim b'Kadoshim, even though they're better than Kadoshim, because it's possible that this person wants to keep these Peirush for a longer period of time and wants to make sure that they're fresher in order that it should last much longer. And we continue in Daf Samach Min Aleph, Be'emes Amru, that in truth we have said, and the Gemara will tell us that this lashon means that the halacha is as follows: that b'yayin etiru la'arav kasha b'rach b'pnei shu mashpichai, that when it comes to wine, if a seller wants to go and mix in strong wine with weaker wine, then he's allowed to do so because he's making it better. And as Rashi says, kasha mashpichai harach, that stronger wine makes the weaker wine better, and therefore paski ma'arach ma'arav b'kasha, even though they made up that he's selling him weaker wine, he's allowed to add in stronger wine. However, Rashi once again says, v'dafka k'tani kasha b'rach, because Paschim or Kasha, if they made up that he's buying stronger wine, lo ya'arav b'yisrach, then certainly the seller can add in weaker wine. Rush argues on Rashi, and he says, Sherach b'shubach min ha'kasha, that really the weaker wine is better than the stronger wine, v'gam dam yukarim mesa, and it's even more expensive, u'mekal mokah mutter la'arav kasha b'rach, and even so, it's mutter to go and add in some strong wine into the weaker wine, al yidei nisinus mi'at yayin kasha b'rach, u'mashpicha shiuch l'skai mesa, as this is a way that the wine will last for a longer period of time. Once again, it seems clear from the Rush that if a seller made up to sell stronger wine to someone, then certainly he could add in the weaker wine, as weaker wine is better and more expensive. And the Mefarshim asked that according to Rashi, was the Chiddush of Mishnah, one is allowed to be Ma'arev Kasha Brach if it's Mashpichai, and therefore certainly there should be no problem with adding in stronger wine into weaker wine. And they explained that since the opposite is Asa, therefore one would think that we should be Geiza, that you shouldn't even be able to be Ma'arev Kasha Brach, Shem Yavu La'arav Rach B'Kasha, and Kamash 1, that we don't make this Gzera. And the Mishnah continues, Im Arvin Shmur Yayin B'Yayin, Avonis L'Yashmur, that one is now allowed to mix in the sediments of one barrel of wine with another barrel of wine, but when selling wine from one barrel of wine, he can add in the sediments of that specific barrel of wine, as the Gemara will explain. And the Mishnah continues, Mishnah Sa'ar Mayim B'Yayin Oyleim Karenu B'Chanus, that if a storekeeper has wine and some water gets mixed into it, and now he's selling it by the cup, up or he's selling it in small quantities to the various customers, then he cannot sell it in his store, unless he tells each individual customer that there was water that got mixed into the wine, and therefore they know that they're buying diluted wine and they're not buying pure wine. However, the Mishnah tells us, and you can't sell wine which water got mixed into it to a wholesaler, even if you tell him, because ultimately the wholesaler will go and sell it to storekeepers, and he won't tell them that water was mixed in, and the wholesaler will cheat the storekeepers, and therefore the original owner of this wine has an issa of lefnei iver le'sitel michshal. Even the Mishnah tells us, makom shenagel hatol mayim b'yayin yatilu, the minig hamakom is that people would add in water into wine, and no one sold pure wine, then you could do so. And as Rashi says, because in that case, kivin shenagel in kantoish shekol yinis b'cheskes kain, because all the yayin in this town have a chazaka that water was added into the wine. Mishnah continues, hataga neutel mehi granais v'nesel tech magur achas, that a wholesaler can buy tefuah from five different granaries and five different threshing floors, and he could place it into one silo, and there's no problem because every person that buys from him understands that he's a wholesaler, and the standard is for a wholesaler to buy from many different distributors and many different sources, and therefore they're not expecting that all of the tefuah came from one source. As Rashi says, shakol yodim b'shalai gadol b'sadaisav v'mbrei adam harbet lekeach u'v'cheskes kein lechin. And similarly, if there's a person who's a wine wholesaler, he could go and buy wine, mehi gitais, from five different wine presses, v'naisel teich pitam echad, and he could place it into one barrel, and of course it is based on the same svara. However, the Mishnah qualifies the last two dinim, and it states, uvat shalei miskavel arev, that it has to be that the wholesaler's kavana was not in order to mix up different qualities and try to cheat people. And Rashi explains, shalei miskavel arev, v'lohitzi kol liknis haroi v'mokam mishubach, l'arboi v'mokam acher, that his kavana wasn't that he's going to buy most of his tefuah or most of his wine from one specific distributor, and he will let out a call that he actually buys his tefuah from one specific distributor, and people will think that all his tefuah comes from that distributor, and therefore it must be a very high quality. And in the meantime, he'll mix in other grains and other qualities of grain or of wine, and as Rashi says, v'shkeinu tefuah shekol apiris ma'isa makayim, and therefore this would be asar. And we begin Gemara that the Mishnah stated that a person is not allowed to substitute newer grain for older grain, and Gemara explains, Tanur Rabbanan in tzarech lemechadoshis ma'abav yishonis mishalish, that certainly in a case where the newer grain is cheaper than the older grain, and for example, you could buy 4 pounds of newer grain for $1, which is 25 cents per pound, and the price for older grain is 3 pounds for $1, or 33 cents per pound. So certainly in that case, you now mix them up, because certainly you're cheating the buyer, as the buyer is getting less value. Alafilu chadoshim mishalish yishonis ma'abav, and even in a case where the newer grain would be more expensive than the older grain, and the newer grain would be 33 cents per pound, and the older grain costs 25 cents per pound, Ema Avin, you still can't mix them up. The reason why newer grain may cost more is because there are many people that want to get newer grain in order that it should last much longer. However, quite possibly, this buyer specifically made a tnai with the seller to sell him older grain because he wanted to use it immediately, and he knew that it would be actually cheaper, but even so, he wanted to get older, cheaper grain because he wanted to use it right away, and he didn't have to wait until it gets older and until it dries out. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, and Rabbi Lazar says, Ada Amra, and Rashi says, it's a Lashon Zoyse Ameris, this is a cloud that we have that called Be'emes Amru, that any time a Mishnah says a Lashon Be'emes Amru, Halachi is trying to tell us that this is the actual Halacha. And Rashi states that Be'emes Halacha Midyav Tamlo Mosei is not only because we use the Lashon Be'emes Amru, but it's also because we gave a reasoning for this Halacha, and the Mishnah stated, and therefore there's no Shaila that this is the actual Psak Halacha, and since our Mishnah used the term Be'emes, so Shema Mina Kol Hecha the Tani Be'emes, that any time a Mishnah uses the Lashon Be'emes, Halacha, that is the Halacha, Ve'in L'chasim V'legamgim B'davar. And the Rabbin Masechta Shumais uses the term Halacha as if it states that this is Halacha L'Mishnah M'Sinai, and as the Rav states, Kol Hecha the Tani Be'emes Amru, Ki'ilu Hi Halacha L'Mishnah M'Sinai, it's as if it's Halacha L'Mishnah M'Sinai, and the Psak is Mamish like Halacha L'Mishnah M'Sinai, and it's a very strong Psak. Avolav Davka Halacha L'Mishnah M'Sinai, but the Rav continues that you can't say it's Mamish Halacha L'Mishnah M'Sinai, Sharei Perakav and Shabbos Sheninu, Be'emes Amru, Achazu Roya Hechel Atanek Iskarion, Umidrabbanon Hi, and that is only a Dindrabbanon. And the Shitim Kubetzes brings down from Rabbeinu Yonason that the Lashon Be'emes is a Lashon of Shvuah, and it's as if the Mishnah is swearing to us that this is the Halacha. The Gemara continues, Amrav Nachman, Ubein Akita Shanu, although the Mishnah stated a Halacha that Be'ayin Atiru La'arav Kosher Brach, that is only if it's at the time of the wine press, and it's the time that the wine is fresh, and therefore the wine did not yet yet ferment, and when you mix different wines together and you create a blend, that will actually create a better wine. However, at a later point, you can't just go take wine that was already fermented and mix two different wines together, and that won't be mashpiach the wine. And the Gemara continues, and nowadays that the minig is that the meichum would go and mix up different qualities of wine, even at the time that it wasn't at the time of the wine press, and the clear that should be asa. Our papa says that nowadays people know that that's the standard, and therefore they are meichel. However, Rabbi Acha Breda Rav Ika states that even in a case where the person doesn't know, it would still be mutter, as Hamani Rav Acha, that while minig is going like Rav Acha, the Tanya Rav Acha matter b'davar nitam, Rav Acha is matter by something that's tasted, and since people taste their wine before buying wine, therefore they will realize that it's mixed together, and they know exactly what they're buying, and therefore nowadays the wine sellers could go and mix up their wines, even shloi bein agitais. The custom nowadays is that prior to buying wine from a wholesaler or from a storekeeper, people will taste the wine. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah of Eima Avishmar, Yayim B'Yayin, Avon Leishle Yishmarav. They now mix together the sediments of wine into wine. However, you let it place its sediment into the wine. The Gemara is Va'amru Reisha Eima Avon Klal, that Lachert is a Sira from the Reisha to the Sefer, as the Reisha first stated Eima Avishmar, Yayim B'Yayin, which is Mashma, you never let it go and place sediment into wine. And then the Sefer stated Avon Leishle Yishmarav. The Gemara states V'chitema, my Avon Leishle Yishmarav, that when the Mishnah stated that you let it place its sediment into wine, the Kamidle is talking about a case we actually informed the buyer, therefore the buyer knew about it and he was Michael, but how many times safer? But in the next case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talks about water that got mixed into the wine, and the Mishnah teaches us, Layim Karenim Bechunos, Elim Kim Ridiyai, they now sell it in a store unless you tell every single buyer that water got into this wine, and you now sell it to the wholesaler, even if you inform him. So as Rashi explained, that we see that it's only in this case where we're able to be Mechalit between a case where you inform the buyer and in the case where you don't inform the buyer. However, in the previous case, there is no difference between being Medea the buyer or not being Medea the buyer. And as the Gemara says, Mechal the Reisha, Afagav the Leimoidle, and therefore we see that in the Reisha, when the Mishnah stated Avon Nesle Shmarav, it's even talking about a case where you didn't inform the buyer, and even so it's Mutar. How could be Mechalit between the first case of the Mishnah of Ema Avish Shmar Yayin B'Yayin and the second case where it says Avon Nesle Shmarav? And the Gemara responds, Am Rabbi Yehuda Hachikama Ema Avish Shmar Shal Emesh B'Shal Yayin V'Leishal Yayin B'Shal Emesh. Then a person is not allowed to take the sediments from one barrel and mix it together with another barrel. And the Gemara gives an example where it's very clear that it's separate barrels, as the person is not allowed to take the sediments from a barrel that was made yesterday and place it into a barrel that was made today. And he's also not allowed to take the sediments of a barrel that was made today and place it into a barrel of wine that was made yesterday. However, the Mishnah clarifies, Avon Leishal Yishmarav, but you're allowed to take the sediment from this specific barrel and go and sell it together with the wine of this barrel. Now, of course, if a person is selling a barrel of wine and there's sediment in that barrel, then certainly that's not a chiddush that you could go and sell a whole barrel of wine to someone and include the sediment, and that would not be cheating the person. However, the chiddush in the Mishnah is that if, for example, someone's buying half a barrel of wine from someone, and the seller is going to slowly pour the wine from his barrel into the buyer's barrel, in this scenario, the sediment from this barrel won't necessarily go into the other barrel. And the chiddush is that if, for example, there's 5% of sediment in this barrel of wine, then the seller could take some shmarim and some sediment from this barrel and add it into the other barrel of the buyer, and he could do so up until the share of 5% of the wine that was bought. The Gemara continues, Tanami Hochi, and similarly we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Imeh, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana stated, Hashef Yain L'Chaveri, if someone's slowly pouring wine from one barrel to another, Hareza L'Yair Shal Emesh B'Shal Yain V'Leishal Yain B'Shal Emesh, you now let air the sediment of yesterday's barrel into today's barrel, or from today's barrel into yesterday's barrel, but you let it in the sediment from the specific barrel into the wine that's being purchased. And as Rashi says, Hashefa Yayin Goldova Tzol Hanorik Benachas Mikli Al Kli Shleisar B'Shmarim, that any time that someone's taking a clear liquid and pouring it slowly from one kli to another kli in order to make sure that the sediment doesn't go and flow from one kli to another kli, Karla Shvia. And as Rashi says, Masechta Shabbos Kol Hechad Tani Loshin Shifui Benachasu V'Apsilus Nisha B'Shulei Kli. Rashi and Diva Masel Shem Emesh states Miyain Sheshafa Emesh V'Nisharu Hashmarim Eim Arvin Isam B'Yain Sheshafa Yoyim Sheshmar Yain Zeh Mikalkun Yain Achar, as this will ruin the wine that is in this barrel. Even though this Brisa seems to be telling us that you let it go and mix wine from a specific barrel that was made today into a barrel that was made today, but really the Gemara is Lafdavka, and it means that you only let it pour wine from a specific barrel that you're pouring from and not from any other barrel, even if they were made on the same day, and as Rashi states, "Avon noisin hu lo yeshmar shel yayin atzmoi v'yoyim ve'emesh lav dafka v'hu adin liyoyim v'yoyim mishtei chavias al orch l'mulsa nakat d'stam yoyim ve'emesh mishtei chavias ayin sham." And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah: "Mishin is ar mayim b'yenoi. If someone has water that falls into wine and get mixed into wine, harayz loyim kurena b'chnos. You can't sell it in your store elam kimoydiyoi unless you inform each client v'loy l'taga afu pishaydiyoi she'in al ramis b'yi, and you can't sell it to a wholesaler, even if you inform him, because the only reason why a wholesaler would buy in this manner is in order to cheat others." And the Gemara brings a story, Rava Aisle Chamra Michalusa, that they brought Rava some wine from a store, Mazge, and Rava went and diluted the wine, and Tame, and then he tasted, and Lo Yavid Basim, and it didn't taste good, so Shadri Chalusa, so Rava returned it back to the store, and Amal Abayas, Abayas said to Rava, but we learned in our Mishnah, you can't give wine that was previously diluted to a wholesaler, even if you tell him. So how could you go and return this to the wholesaler? And Amalei and Rav responded to Abayim, Mezgadidi made the idea that everyone knows my Meziga is much more than the standard Meziga, and therefore it would be very easy for a person to discern that this isn't pure wine, and therefore no one will be cheated, and the wholesaler will not have the opportunity to cheat anyone. As Rashi says, Mezgadidi made the idea Shani Noisim by Mayim Harbe. Rav continued, V'chitim Tafim Mechaylei Mazmalei, that maybe we should be concerned that the wholesaler will add in wine and make it into the point where it will taste like wine and they won't be able to discern that it was diluted at all, and the wholesaler will then sell it in this manner and will cheat other people. And Rav explains, you don't have to worry about it, as in Kain England of a safe, as if you're going to say that we have to be choshish that maybe the storekeeper or the wholesaler will go and be a dying and try to cheat people. That certainly is not a concern of ours. Certainly if that would be a concern of ours, you wouldn't even be able to sell 100% undiluted wine to a wholesaler, as potentially you'd have to worry maybe the wholesaler will add water into the wine. Clearly we see that we're never worried that the wholesaler will actually go and do a Maisi B'Dayim in order to cheat someone, and the only time we have a chash is that the wholesaler won't go and inform a buyer of a potential problem. He gave an example of 100% undiluted wine, and Rashi gives an example, Sha'afa Mayim Levadim Asalim Kulachemvini, that he shouldn't even be able to sell water to his wholesaler, Shami Aram B'Yayin V'lechashel O'Bizman Shani Meichloi Dava Asil Ramis Bay K'may Shu Achshav Ayin Sham. The Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Makim Shinogel Hatel Mayim B'Yayin Yatilu, that if there's a minig hamakim that they will place water into wine, then you could do so. And the Gemara brings a brisa tunnel the mechzel shel shuravia, that it depends on the minig hamakim, and if the standard is to put 50% of water into the wine, or 33%, or 25%, then that is fine. But anything more would not be muta. Rav Ubein Gita Shanu, and Rav said that the only time that we matter this was only during the wine pressing season. And we continue with the new Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Imer, Rabbi Yehuda states, Le'yichal kachemini kloyes ve'gezel tenekes ben pesha megil lavi etzlay. The storekeeper can't give out toasted grain or nuts to children in order that he should want to come to that store, and the children should tell their parents that they want to go specifically to shop at a specific store, as that would be unfair competition. However, the Mishnah tells us, v'cham matirin, the Chum say that that would be muta, and the Gemara will explain the pshat in this machlekes, and the Mishnah continues, v'lo yifchis es hashar, and a person who is selling wares can't sell it for the lower price than the market, as once again, it's unfair competition, v'cham imrim, zoch l'tayv, and Chum say that he actually should be remembered for good, because ultimately he's helping bring down the price in the market. And the Mishnah continues, Lo Yavar Sagrisin Divri Abishol V'Chom Matirin. Abishol holds that you're not allowed to take out the bad beans and the lower quality beans from the rest of his beans and pre-sort the beans and then sell it at a higher price. And once again, the Chum argue and the Chum say it's muto. However, the Mishnah tells us, Umoidim, that the Chum Amoidish Lo Yavar Me'al Pi Megura, that certainly one is not allowed to go and sift out the bad beans from the top of the pile, as then they're just trying to make it look better. But ultimately, in the rest of the pile of the beans, you still have lesser quality beans mixed in, and therefore you'll go cheat someone. And of course, that is usur. And as the Mishnah states, she'ino l'kagoyin of isayin, as then you're trying to be goyin of das, and you're trying to cheat the person. Finally, the Mishnah teaches us, that if someone is either selling an ebek knani or behemo or kalim, that he can't go and make them look nicer in order to try to sell them for a better price and to try to deceive people. The Gemara begins that Rabbi Yehuda stated, and the Chum Matirin, and the Gemara asks, "My time out, Rabbanon. What did Pshan Rabbanon?" The Amalei and Rabbanon explain, because the storekeeper could say to everyone else, "I'm giving out nuts for at Polishiski, and if you want to compete, then you should give out prunes, which is of course even better and more expensive. And therefore, it's not unfair competition." And although Rashi over here says Shiski is prunes, however, Rashi Maseches Bar Basra and the Chafal from Beis states Shiski is Shkedim is almonds. bones. The Gemara continues, it quotes from Mishnah, believe it says Shishav, Chamim Zachlatoyev, Tanakama hold, that you're not allowed to go and sell items for cheaper than the market price. And the Chum say that Zachlatoyev, you should remember for good. And the Gemara explains, my time in Rabbanon, that what is the reason for the Rabbanon? And we continue, and Daf Samach Omebez, Shum the Kumravach Latara, and as Rashi says, Voitsu Pierce, Yuru, Shahuzl, Vim Kubazoil, that everyone else will see that he brought down his prices, and therefore they'll bring down the price as well. That will help bring down the market price, and therefore it's actually a good thing, and the Chum specifically don't want to stifle competition. And the Gemara continues, V'lo Yover Sagrisin, Divri Abishol, V'chum Matirin. Abishol says, the seller can't pre-sort the split beans out of a pile of beans, and then sell it for a higher price. However, the Chum say it's Mutta, and the Gemara says, Mad Chacham, who is the Chacham of the Mishnah? Rab Acha, Tanya, Rab Acha Matir, B'dava Nira, that since there's something that's nearly Naim, and everyone will be able to see that he took out the bad beans, and he took out the beans that were already split in half, so then the person realizes that he's buying something which is a better quality, and the buyer realizes that the seller put in extra effort and extra labor in order to sort these beans, and therefore he understands that he's going to pay a higher price, and he could decide if he wants to pay a higher price for having pre-selected and pre-sorted beans, or if he doesn't want to pay it. And therefore, as Rashi says, and he can decide if he wants to buy it or not, and therefore it's not a problem, and there's no issa. The Gemara quotes from the last in the Mishnah, and the Gemara brings a brisa, we learned, you can't make a behemoth here stand up straight, and the lashon of shavit is like a shavit azov, which is like a scepter and something that stands straight, and the seller is trying to make the animal look better and trying to sell it for a higher price, and if someone is selling the intestines of an animal and the innards of an animal, he can't blow it up in order to make it look nicer, and you're also not allowed to soak meat in water, as when doing so, it causes the basa to look better and look fattier, as it makes it look whiter, and it looks like it has more fat on it, and therefore it looks more expensive. And the Gemara now explains the brisa, how did a person stand up the hair of his animal, that it would stand up straight like a stick? And the Gemara explains, that in Bavel, they explain that this was done by giving the animals a drink made of bran, and as Rashi says, Mashkna Issa Me Subin, by drinking this drink, and this manner that innards would become bloated, and the hair of the animal would stand up straight, and therefore the animal would seem much healthier and much bigger than it really was. And it seems that Rashi holds that the Gemara is now explaining both the case of Eim Sharatan Sabhema and the case of Eim Neufchim Bekabayim. However, the Gemara continues, Ziri Amar Rav Kana, Ziri stated in Rav Kana, Meskafta, that they actually used a brush or a comb in order to stand the hair up straight on the animal. The Gemara continues and brings down different memories from Amirayim as a different thing that could be done in order to go and make something look better, and even so it would be mutta. And Shmuel Shor Lemir Matusi L'Savla, that Shmuel said it's mutta to go attach silk fringes to a coat or to a beged in order to make the coat look nicer. And it's possible, it is why we have a minig that on the edge of our talisim we make fringes, as that would be a kiyum of Zekil V'Aveyu, since we see from this Gemara that that makes a beged look nicer. And Rebbe Shor L'Katskusi Krami, and Rebbe Yehuda's Mata sellers to add starch to begodim in order to make the begodim look nicer, and Rabbi Sharon made it sardi, and Rabbi allowed sellers to hit the canvas in order to make the canvas look better, and Rabbi Sharon it's lumigiri, and Rabbi was mata sellers to paint their arrows in order to make them look nicer, and Rabbi Bashmol Sharon it's lumidikule, and Rabbi Bashmol allowed sellers to paint their baskets once again to make them look better, and the Gemara asked, but not time, but we learned in the Mishnah, a mefachsin leisa adam leisa behem leisa kelim, and seems in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to beautify your kelim in order to make them look better, in order to get a higher price, and that would be considered fraud. And the Gemara says, Lekasha, Habachati, Habatiki, that if you have a new kli, then by painting it or by doing any of these items that we just mentioned, then you're making it look nicer, and of course that would be mutter. However, you're taking an old kli and you're trying to make it look like it's new, and you're trying to defraud someone, then of course that would be usser. Rashi says, Bechadti mutter, She'inin al liafes, by rates al hisabal domain, and if someone wants to pay more, Bishvul yafim, because they're nicer, Meichlu, he's certainly Meichel, the Gemara continues that we mentioned on Mishnah that you're not allowed to beautify a person in order to get a better price when selling an Eved Kanani. And the Gemara asks, Pirchas Da'adim Mayi, how do you beautify a person and how do you make him look better in order to sell him at that higher price? And the Gemara brings a story, that there was an older guy that wanted to sell himself as an Eved Kanani, and he went and dyed his hair and his beard black, and this way he looked much younger and he looked like he was worth much more. So also coming to Rava, he came to Rava Amalei, and he said to Rava, Zivnan, I want you to buy me Amalei. And Rava said, you and Aniyim b'nei Beischa, that the Mishnah teaches us in Masechtas Aveis that Jewish Aniyim should be part of your household. Instead of buying Avadim Knanim, you should hire Jewish people in order to work for you, in order to be able to give them panasa. And therefore, I won't buy you. I only will hire Jewish helpers. And as Rashi says, Zibnon kono isil eved, that the guy said to Rava that you should buy me as an eved knani hoya, to have an ivri asal acha churban she'enu yovel noyig, after the churban was also to have an eved ivri, since yovel is not noyig. And the Gemara continues, also coming to Rapab Bashmol. So this guy came to Rapab Bashmol, and Zavni and Rapab Bashmol actually bought him as an eved knani. Yom echad, one day, omale ashkaya maya, so Rapab Bashmol said to his eved knani, I want you to give me a drink of water. Also chavri l'reishal odiknei, so the eved knani now went, and he washed his head and he washed his beard, and therefore his hair now turned back to white. And Amalei Chazi Dan No Koshish Mavuch, and Rav Eved Knani said to Rav Bashmul that you see that I'm even older than your father, and therefore I won't bring you a drink of water. And Karya Nafshei, Papa Bashmul used the Pasuk of Mishlei and a play in the words in the Pasuk of Mishlei, and he said about himself, Tzadik Mitzora Nechlatz, that since Rav was a Tzadik and he only wanted to use Jewish help, therefore he was saved from a Tzara. However, Yove Acher Tachtov, and someone else will go in his place and will be defrauded. And the actual Pasuk of Mishlei states, Sadik Mitzara Nechlatz V'yavu Rasha Tachtov, and Rapab Bashmul didn't want to call himself a Rasha, and as the Mishnah Masechtas Aveis in Parag Bei states, Altihi Rasha B'fnei Atzpcha, and therefore he said a play on the words, and he said V'yavu Acher Tachtov, Hadron Lo Chazov, Hadron Lo Chazov, Hadron Lo Chazov. And we begin a new parak and a new Mishnah, the fifth parak of Masechtas Bava Metzia, Parag Ezer Uneshech. And let's begin with the quick Hakdamah. In three places, the Torah discusses the Issa of Ribbis, charging interest for a loan. The first place is in Pashas Mishpatim, that the Torah tells us there is a mitzvah to lend money to another yid, and it states in Kesef Talvis Ami, as Ani Yimach, Laisiya Lekinosha, Laisisim Lov Neshech, and Rashi explains, Neshech refers to Ribbis, Behainu Kineshichas Hanochash, and this is just like a snake bite, that just like a snake makes a small bite, and a person may not even feel it, and ultimately blows up, and it causes major damage to a person. So similarly, Kach Ribbis, Einu Magish Veinu Nika, Ach Ribbis Oilu Mechasri Mamin Habe, and therefore Psukim Pashim Behar, that state v'chi yomach achicha matan yada imach derzakta by gervasesha v'chay imach hatikach miitay neshach v'sabis v'yureisim alaykecha v'chay achicha imach as kaspech aloy sitlein b'neshach v'mabes aloy sitlein achlecha ani Hashem alaykechem asher etesi eschem eretz mitzrayim losis lachem es eretz kanan liyas lachem leilakim. Finally, there are two psukim in Pashat Kiseitze that state leisashach lachicha neshach kesef neshach oichel neshach kaldova ashi yishach lanachri sashach lachich leisashach leman yivrecha Hashem alaykecha v'chom mishlach yadecha. And both in Pashas Behar as well as in Pashas Kiseitze, the Torah speaks about Neshech and Sabbis, and the Lashon of Ribbis comes from the Lashon of Sabbis. The Torah calls interest Neshech because it bites the borrower, and it calls it Tarbis as well, as the lender is increasing his wealth off of his friend's back. And as we will see in the Gemara, that although the Torah used the Lashon of Neshech when discussing a loan of money, and Sabbis when discussing food, but they are both referring to the same case, and the Torah tells us that a person is Eiv on both these Lavim when he lends with interest, amongst other lavim that we will also see that pertain to a loan with interest, which we will see in Daf Ayin Hei on Beis. And our Mishnah begins and asks, Eizeru Neshech be'Eizeru Sabbis, what is the case of Neshech and what is the case of Sabbis? And although it seems that the Mishnah is asking regarding the Suri Deraisa of Neshech and Sabbis, however, as we will see in the Gemara, the first case of the Mishnah will be discussing Ribbis Ketsuta, which is Ribbis Deraisa, and certainly a person as Ivan Ribbis Ketsuta and Ribbis Deraisa will be Ivan both these of Neshech and Sabbis. And the second case of the Mishnah will be discussing the Issa Rabbanon of a forward contract, the case of Mecha Chomemka. And in reality, the Gemara is just borrowing the phrase of Sabbis from the Torah. And it was explained that in this scenario, the payment isn't biting into the seller, as it isn't a predetermined interest rate based on a loan, and it's only increasing the buyer's wealth. So the Mishnah uses the term Sabbis. And the Mishnah continues, Eizeru Neshech, and what is the case of Neshech? Hamal v'seller behei dinarim, if someone lends someone a seller, which is really 40 dinarim, and they predetermine that he will pay him back 5 dinarim, that is Ribbis Deraisa, in addition to Sayim Chitim B'Sholesh Asa M'Pneshu Neshech. And similarly, if someone lends his friend 2 saw of wheat, they predetermine that he will pay him back 3 saw, then one is Oivud Issa Deraisa of Neshech. And as Rashi explains, M'Pneshu Neshech, the Shokel Minei Mai Deleyavle, because you're taking from your friend something that you did not give him originally. And the Mishnah continues, Ve'izeo Sarvis, and what is the Issa Derabanan of Ribbis, Hamab Beperius, and as Rashi points out, Hamar b'schala atzmei beperius, that this case is not referring to a case of a loan, and it's talking about a case of Mekach HaMemkar, and the reason why the Mishnah calls it Sarvis is because you're increasing your profitability based on your Paris. And as we mentioned from the Ritva, and Rashi continues, the Gemara Mefarish about Vos Kesef Paris, Nami Avi Sarvis, that certainly, as we mentioned, Akdama, you'll be over on the Issa of Sarvis when you lend Kesef or Paris, and you're not only over on the Issa of Neshach, Sharei Misrav Meina, because ultimately your money is increasing. And Bahacha, and when our Mishnah discusses the din of Sarvis, Ribbis Drabbanon Kamefarish, Derech Mekhomemka, the Mishnah is bringing us an example of Ribbis Drabbanon, where it's done Derech Mekhomemka and not Derech Hava. And before we continue, let's point out that a din Azov was equal to 25 dinari Kesef, and the Mishnah therefore states, Ketzad, what is the case of Ribbis Drabbanon, Lokhmenu Chitim Bedin Azov Hakor, Reuven went to Shimon and gave him a din Azov, and he said, I want to buy from you a kor of Chitin, but I won't take delivery from you right now, and eventually I'll take delivery from you, Mechina Shar, and at this time, that was actually the market price of Chitin. One could actually buy a kor of Chitin for a din Azov, which at that point was 25 din Kesef, as we will see in the Gemara, and Rashi points out that there is no din of Ribbis Drabbanon in this scenario. The Mishnah will teach us on Daf Ayin Beis and Beis that Yotza Shar, that once there is a market price, then Paiskin, then you could make a forward contract, and even if at that point the seller doesn't even have Chitin to deliver to Reuven at that moment, as L'maisa, if Shimon wanted to, he could go buy a kor of Chitin at that moment for 25 seller and for a din Azov. And let us see the Lashon of Rashi in Diba Maschel V'china Shar, Kach Choyd Mekorim Be'ir, V'hut Loi Losis Mois Achshav Al Menas Litin Loi Zeh Chitin Kol Yom Mois Hashona B'dam Malolu Kishir Moisav V'afo Pish Achshav Ein Loi Chitin. And even though the seller doesn't have wheat at this moment, the Tzalam B'Pirkin Yotza Shar Paiskin V'afo Pish Ein Loi Zeh Yesh Loi Zeh. And even though Shimon doesn't have any wheat, but there are other people that are selling wheat at this moment that he could buy it from, V'yachla Meichaloz L'Knesim Atav Mois Halolu. The Mishnah continued with the scenario, Om Du Chitin B'la Medinrin, if at a later point the price of wheat went up, and instead of buying a kor for 25 dinari kesef, you're only able to buy a kor of chitin for 30 dinari kesef, and the price of wheat increased. And the Mishnah tells us, Amaloi, if Reuven tells Shimon, ten li chitai, want you to deliver the kor chitin that you owe me? And as Rashi says, at that point, certainly it would be mutter for Shimon to deliver the kor chitin to Reuven. And as Rashi says, v'zu mitarasim nos li chitin, and as we explained beforehand, however, Reuven tells Shimon that I want my wheat, shani roitzel amechon v'likach ben yayin, because I want to sell it for a profit, and now I'll be able to get 30 dinari kesef, and then I'll be able to buy wine worth 30 dinari kesef, and omoloi, and then Shimon says to Reuven, that harechitech asuyas alai b'shloishim dinrim, that l'maisa, I agree with you that I owe you a kor of chitim, but right now I don't have the chitim, and I'd rather not deliver the wheat to you, because I'd rather keep the money, and be able to still have the use of the money that you gave me, which was, of course, the dinri zav, which was 25 dinrin, and varei l'cha etzli b'hanyayin v'yayin einloi. And Shimon says, I agree that at some point I'll deliver wine to you, but at this point Shimon doesn't have wine, and therefore as the Bachi Adin, also, there will be also to do so. This is a case of Ribbis Drabbanon, and as Rashi explains, I will pasuk hayayin shepasuk loy losses ben also, but in this case, since Shimon said, I will give you wine instead of the wheat, that will be also hoil v'einloi, since at this point Shimon doesn't have wine, shem yoy kayayin, and maybe the price of wine will go up in value. And as Rashi points out, v'afo pi shepasukim loy kashar yayin shel achshav v'kfar yotza shar over Gemara Mefarish Taima, that even though at this time there was an actual market price for wine, even so it's still going to be usher to do so midrabanan, and the Gemara will explain why this is true. If l'chayr Shimon could have gone and bought wine at this moment, why is it different in this case? Once you say that I'm going to give you wine, and originally when you said I'm going to give you wheat, that it would have been mutter for Shimon to deliver wheat, since there was a shar and there was a market price, and even if Shimon didn't have wheat at that moment, but the maisi could have gone and bought wheat at that time, and therefore we said it's not even considered Ribbis Drabbanon. And we begin our Gemara midishavik the Ribbis Draisa will come and farish Ribbis Drabbanon mechal the Raisa the neshach and sabbis chad milsi, that by the fact that the Mishnah speaks about neshach and sabbis, and when the Mishnah speaks about neshach, it speaks about a case of Ribbis Draisa, and when the Mishnah speaks about sabbis, it speaks about a case of Ribbis Drabbanon. So it seems that midiraisa, that the word neshach and sabbis really refers to the same issa, and there is no chil between the case of neshach and sabbis on the Raisa level. And the Gemara asks, for Craig Sivin, Neshach Kesef, Ribbis Eichel, that L'Chayr, the Pasuk brings two different terms, and it says Neshach Kesef, Ribbis Eichel, and seeing that two different Isurim, and L'Chayr, what is the case of Neshach Duraisa and Ribbis Duraisa, and what is the chil between these two terms? And the Gemara says, V'tizbra, and if you will think, the Ikka Neshach B'lei Sabbis, V'Sabbis B'lei Neshach, that is possible that there is a case midraisa where a person could be ivan isser ribis when there's a case of neshach without being sarbis, and it could be a case of ribis where a person will be ivan sarbis without being ivan isser neshach. And the Gemara explains that what would be that scenario that neshach boy sarbis hechidami. What would be a scenario where you could say that a person may be ivan isser neshach because he's biting out of the borrower, but he's not ivan the isser of sarbis because he's not increasing his wealth. And either isfei may have been may have esrim. And if you're going to give me a scenario where Reuven lent $100 to Shimon, and originally he told him that you're going to have to pay me back $120, and may kar kaimim meya bedanka, and originally when he gave him $100, that was valued at a danka, or besef kaimim meya beesrim bedanka, and then there was inflation, and you only could buy a danka with $120. So in this case, one may say neshech ikar de kanachas le de kashakol minei midi doliyav, and it would seem that the issa of neshech would apply in this scenario, because ultimately you're taking a bite out of the borrower, as originally Reuven gave Shimon $100, and now Shimon is paying back $120. V'sabes leka, and when looking at the end result, there is no increase in value to Reuven's wealth, the lesser revacha, because he doesn't actually profit the danka isfe v'danka kashokel minei, because originally he gave him $100, which at that point was worth a danka, and at this point when Shimon gave him back $120, that was also still worth a danka, as was inflation, and therefore Reuven did not actually increase his wealth. And maybe in this scenario, the issa of leisavis would not apply, while the issa of neshech does apply. And the Gemara says that you can't say that the Torah looked at the din of neshech and sabbis in this manner. When dealing with the issa of neshech, you're looking at it from the perspective of the borrower at the time that he borrowed the money. And at that time, he was given $100, and he promised to give $120 back to Reuven. And of course, that would be a din of neshech. But ultimately, at the end result, when he actually gave it back, he actually was not charged anything extra because he took a danka and he returned the danka. Then you want to look at the issa of sabbis from the perspective of the lender at the time that he receives his money back, and we say there is no issa of sabbis because at that time he didn't receive any extra wealth and he didn't receive any extra payment, since originally he gave a danka to Shimon and he got back a danka. And therefore the Gemara says that saif ibasim ikar azlas hari neshafai sabbis, the lemaisa, you have to decide at which perspective you take a look at. And if you're going to look at the perspective based on when you actually gave the loan, then at that point it was neshach and it was sabbis, because at the point that Reuven gave the loan to Shimon, so Reuven told Shimon, you're going to have to pay me $120, and therefore Shimon was going to have neshech, as it was going to buy $20 extra out of Shimon. And at that point, Reuven was expecting that he would make an extra $20, and he would increase his wealth by $20, and therefore it's considered sarbis as well. And if you look at it from perspective at the time that you're actually making the payment, and Shimon is paying Reuven back the $120, loy neshech echav loy sarbis echav, and at that point we can't say that there's an issa of neshech or the issa of sarbis, as l'maisa Reuven gave Shimon an amount of money that was equal to a danka, and the end result was that Shimon also paid Reuven a danka. Shimon didn't really pay anything additional to Reuven, and if you look at it based on this perspective, then Reuven didn't bite anything out of Shimon because Shimon borrowed a danka and gave back a danka, and Reuven also didn't increase his wealth, as originally Reuven gave a danka to Shimon and he received back exactly a danka. And the Gemara continued, v'su sarbis b'lei neshech hechidami, and if you will tell me that maybe there's no case where you have the issa of neshech and you don't have the issa of sabbis, but maybe there is a scenario where you can have the issa of sabbis and not have the issa of neshech, and that's why the Torah mentions two different yisurim. And what would be the scenario? Ida issa of meya b'meya. And if you're going to tell me it's a scenario where Reuven lent $100 to Shimon and he was promised to get back exactly $100, and meikar kaima meya b'danka, and originally when Shimon borrowed the money, he was able to buy a danka with $100, or besayif meya b'chumsha, and then at the time that Shimon was repaying the loan, $100 was able to buy a chaimsho, which is a fifth of the dinar, which is of course more than a sixth of a dinar. In this case, the issa of neshech doesn't apply because l'maisa Reuven lent $100 to Shimon and Shimon is paying $100 back to Reuven, but ultimately the $100 that Reuven's getting back at the time of repayment is more valuable than the original $100, and therefore Reuven is increasing his wealth, and maybe the issa of sarbis does apply. And once again, the Gemara says that you're looking at based on two different perspectives, and that's not a proper way to look at the issurim of ribis, as there's always going to be a fluctuation in the market price, and you have to have a certainty when you're lending someone money that when you lend them $100 and you don't make up to get a specific amount of money back, that that is not going to be an issa d'raisa of ribis, and therefore it can't be that the Torah will look at ribis from two different perspectives, and one from the borrower's side and one from the lender's side. And as the Gemara goes through the cheshbon once again, that ibasim ikar azas, that if you will go based on the time of the loan, loy neshech chuvlei sarbisika, at that point, it wasn't Neshech because Reuven lent $100 to Shimon and they didn't make up that he would be paid more, and therefore it wasn't biting anything out of Shimon, and it also wasn't going to be any increase in Reuven's wealth because he was only going to get back $100 and Ibasa Seifazas. And if you look at the end result, when the borrower is paying back $100 to Reuven, Ohari Neshech, at that point, it's costing Reuven more for this money. Therefore, ultimately, it is biting out of the borrower, Vari Tarbis, and there's also an increase in Reuven's wealth, and therefore, there should be an Issa of Neshech and Tarbis. For there is no way to find a scenario where there's an Issa of Neshech without the Issa of Tarbis, and there is no scenario where you'll have the Issa of Tarbis without having the Issa of Neshech on the Reisdik level, and therefore, Elam Rava, so Rava states, Yatim Meitzim Le Neshech Le Tarbis Le Tarbis Le Neshech, as we said, V'lechilkan HaKosov El Lavala B'shnei Lavin, and the reason why the Torah gives us two different Isurim of Neshech and Tarbis is only because the Torah is telling us that a person that lends with interest will be Oiva two separate Yisurim, one for Neshech and one for Tarbis, amongst the other Yisurim that we will discuss in Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis. And Lemaisa, when our Mishnah is Ezeu Neshech ve'Ezeu Tarbis, the Mishnah is really asking, what is the case of Ribbis D'Raisa? What is the case of Ribbis D'Rabbanon? And Ayin Taisi Dila Mascha Lama Chulka Makasov Lav Ola B'Shnei Labin, where Taisis is Vim Taima V'Lam Mishin and B'Loshin. And why is it that relevant to Kesef, the Torah states in Pashat Bahar, as Kaspach Leisitlein B'Neshech, and B'Negei Food, the Torah states, Uvimarbis Leisitlein Achlecha, and L'Chayr Licht of Kaspach Leisitlein B'Neshech, V'Neshech Leisitlein Achlecha, and why don't we use the same term, B'Negei Kesef and B'Negei Achila, and we should have used the term Neshech for both, and we would still have two Lavin. And Taisis says, V'Yishleim Akiv and Shritzuch Shnei Lavin, since the Torah had to say two Lavin, Ochadukra Licht of Lashem Mishnah, therefore it's normal for the Torah to write different Lashonis, Jehu Na Yosa, and this is a more beautiful way to write something, and we will stop over here.